It's podcast night.
Yes.
Let's make the podcast.
It's time to podcasts. It's time to Skype the noise.
Feel like I bring the noise?
Well, it was, yeah. Well, except more of like a Muppet Show thing.
I didn't know if you were doing like a time to make the donuts thing, or if you were going for, you know, something a little edgier.
What is edgier than the Muppets, Dan? I ask you.
probably everything, because the Muppets are made out of felt and foam. I don't have a lot of edges, so to speak.
It's all about the edges in their personality, Dan.
Is that so?
Sure.
Do the Muppets have any defining characteristics aside from like one minor affectation and then like an animal that they're associated with?
I would say that they're mainly just singular things with no inner life.
They don't have extensive backstories. Is that what you're saying?
No. But you know, they have unique traits that people love about them.
Is that what they do?
Sure, I'm given to understand that people like them, Dan. Your Honor.
What are these people? One person.
Me? Am I a person?
Do you enjoy the Muppets? Is that what you're saying right now?
I mean, I like them fine.
When was the last time you watched a Muppet property?
They
did that new movie a couple of years ago with what's his name?
Well, I watched the new movie with what's his name, but then I didn't watch the sequel to that new movie with Tina Fey.
There was a sequel already?
There was a sequel that came and went. I did not enjoy. I didn't see it.
Was it called How I Met Your Muppets?
No.
Why are we talking about the Muppets?
No, we're like, not talking
like
about the Muppets.
Still, like it's still culturally relevant or something. Is this still new? Do they still make new Muppet things?
Well, I mean, I just said they made that movie thing. Also,
I mean, like, is there a show? Is there a Muppet show?
Well, no, but there's Sesame Street. That's a show with Muppets.
Right. They're still making that, right?
Yeah.
Is that on PBS? Does PBS still exist?
No. Dan, there's a whole hubbub where they have it on HBO now.
Right, because what's his name? Right.
Yeah, because HBO has money, and PBS does not have money. And Sesame Street is all about, though they left public broadcasting.
They've moved off Sesame Street, now they're on Rodeo Drive. So I don't know. I was going to make a pun about roads, but, you know.
Yeah, well, did you know that the Henson Factory Studios location is the old Charlie Chaplin Studios location?
Where is that?
In Los Angeles.
Well, I'm Yes, which one? There are like 1,000 hidden studios all over the place there.
It's that little brick building. You've seen it in the things, in the stuff. Google it, Dan.
Yeah, you want me to do it right now?
I'm not your duplex Google assistant. I can't do this for you.
Oh, right. That's the thing with the ums and the ahs.
Yeah. My ums and ahs are all natural.
I'm glad. Did you guys talk about this on Helpful Suggestions?
Oh, no. We decided that all the tech news was boring and Google hadn't done their thing yet. So what we did was outline our plans for a speakeasy lounge that would rotate through different locations in the country.
I have to be honest. I saw I saw the description and the title of that episode and I was frightened. I literally was like, I don't know if I can and or should listen to this because I don't know what this is. So,
yeah. Well, no. See, the Juicy Goss Lounge is...
Is that a thing I'm supposed to recognize?
No, it's not. But Goss is short for gossip.
Is that a common thing?
No, well, I don't know what common, but we are nothing if not people who say things. And so we did. And turned into sort of a little improv bit about planning an establishment.
I see how it is. You actually play along with Micah's improv bits when I'm not here.
Well, it didn't involve any anatomy on a bee, so there's that. Spoiler alert for that. Also, if anyone's listening to this and they're like, what are they talking about? I do a tech, quote-unquote, show with Micah Sargent on a sort of every other week basis. And occasionally he's been a lovely guest on this program, and you should listen to his episodes that he did for Kingsman and Kingsman, The Golden Circle. And he did our bonus episode this year where he talked about the Bee Movie, which was a favorite of his, and then he reevaluated that decision. But there was some improv, and I, of course, was the straight man, ironically. That's how comedy works.
A stick in the mud, but that's you made a funny on top of it.
Yeah, the hat on a hat.
It was a good episode. You bees can't really wear hats because they got their antennas.
No, but I'm sure that in the world of the Bee Movie, there was probably a bee in the background that had like a fedora with two little holes for the antenna.
Well, I guess they wore helmets when they were doing their thing. Anyway, we shouldn't rehash.
No,
the Bee episode.
That's quality member content. And you can go to theincomparable.com and become a member today.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
One of these days we should pull a couple of clips to entice some folks. I still want to do that because, good gracious, that episode is enticing.
Yes. I mean, I've been a little biz, but if you got the time...
No, I don't. That's why I haven't done it yet. It's still it's like item 30 on my to-do list, right? Priority inbox.
What to-do app have you switched to currently?
Oh, I'm still on Things since Matt Alexander recommended it in his absolutely weekly newsletter that I subscribe to. I signed up at the exact right moment because I was rolling my own with NV Alt and other task papery things, and this Things app is a friggin' lifesaver right now.
Okay,
it's great.
As we have established on prior shows, I am in no need of a to-do app because I do everything that I need to do.
You get in your car, you drive to your work, you sit down, and they say, "Here's some stuff, make this," and then you go home.
Yes,
it's just that simple.
But you're self-employed. You gotta be motivated to do stuff, and I can understand that struggle, because if I was left alone to my own devices, I would probably just sit there because I'm not very good at doing things on my own without motivation.
Also, if you're like a dummy like me and you're like, give me all of the work, and then suddenly you have five projects and you're like, which one of these do I really have to do right now, you can sort of plan it out.
It's called triaging.
Yeah, and then you can plan it very poorly, where you have to do two, basically, 8 to 10 hour days in a row, and then just like stay up till 2 a.m. for like a week straight.
That's not a good plan.
No,
FYI.
See, the thing is, when you're really busy working on something, and something else pops up, and they're like, "How long would this take?" You don't really like give it as much focus when you're bidding it as you probably should, and then you're like, "That'll be a day," and then it turns into 3.5 days, and you're like, "I shouldn't have said that."
Yeah. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. you know what my little secret is?
Mm-hmm.
Just multiply whatever it is by 2 or 3.
Yeah. See, but here's the problem, though. I'm sure you're well. I don't know if you quite get the same feeling doing VFX where you do the VFX. By the way, at some point we should explain why we're not talking about a movie, but we'll get back to that.
What if we never explained why we don't talk about a movie till the very end?
Okay, yeah, so stick around. In about 30 minutes, we'll tell you why we're not talking about a movie this week. The people who call me for stuff most of the time call me because like they hit a wall. Like they can't do a thing that they need to do in order to deliver a project. So basically everyone else's work is done except for this big complicated thing that they can't do. And they're like, please help us, Dan. We need to do this thing. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I can help you out. Because I like work and stuff. So basically, they're just sitting around twiddling their thumbs trying to make a delivery date, and they're waiting on me. So I feel bad, so I want to be quick and efficient. So that, and I, you know, just generally don't want to dilly-dally. So I try to be optimistic sometimes, which is bad.
Mm.
And then, you know, life gets in the way. You're like, yeah, I just need, you know, 4 solid 10-hour days of... you know, working 9 to 6 every single day, and I'll be fine. And then you're like, oh yeah, I got all those appointments and meetings and all those other things that are just like life that occur, and then your 10-hour days turn into like scattered, broken 6 and 8 hour days, and you're just miserable.
Yeah. So, just maybe do the thing that I said and bid more time.
Mm-hmm. 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 Although, you know, it's always the thing. Like I say, I'll have it for you Tuesday, and they're like, "How about end of day Monday?" It's like, well, when is your end of day? Because my end of day is 11:59 on Monday night.
I always love that sometimes when I'm talking to you and corresponding, and I was like, and I'm like, I thought you said that was end of day, and you're like, day is not over yet. And
no, day's like, not over. Technically, the day doesn't end for me until you get into the office the next day, because you're not checking your email at midnight. So as long as I put it in your inbox by, I don't know, like 6 a.m. local time or something, you'll be fine.
Yeah, this is a minor 12-hour difference from what their expectations were.
I mean, the expectation is that they can drop it back into their edit on Tuesday, so you know, whatever. Do your thing.
Yeah, no, I should
disclaim for people who want to hire me, because all of my projects go this way.
Do you think anyone who is listening to this would hire you?
I have many applicable skills.
Not because you're bad or anything, but just because I'm just curious what our overlapping audience might be.
honest to God, I have no idea. A lot of the work I've gotten recently has just come from just people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that I used to hire for other things who work at other places now, and they're just like, yeah, hey, wait, we need a thing.
Yeah, they call that networking.
Do they? Because I don't know how to do that. I'm not really... I am actually going to some sort of, you could call it a networking event tomorrow.
Oh, my condolences.
No, I'm actually kind of excited about it.
I'm not. I don't like networking. I don't like talking to people. I don't like making small talk. I don't like parties, even if they're people that I know. I don't want to be in a group that's greater than 6, ideally 4.
You just tell them what you're working on, and then they'll be all very impressed and go like, oh, that sounds really complicated and interesting.
Except,
and you play it cool, you're like, yeah, it's fine, it's no big deal.
Sure. It's not really how that goes for me, but sure. But that is neither here nor there. We should probably address the thing that we said we weren't going to address about the movie.
So James Cameron hates movies.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Yes. All cinema.
It is James Cam May Run month here at the Defocused Laboratories.
Yes. And our science is going full steam. All the beakers are ready and prepped. And the sampling mechanism is up to full isotopes or whatever. But we can't do the things that we had initially planned on because we wanted to do the Abyss. And then,
I've never seen The Abyss. I was really looking forward to seeing The Abyss because it's one of those like famous-y movies for visual effects and for James Cameron and lots of other reasons.
Yeah, and James Cameron was not initially satisfied with the way the theatrical release was put out there. And so he was he got a bunch of money and he went back and he did a special edition with added effects from ILM. Where they were able to complete things that were initially planned, but they bailed on. And that version is better. However, neither version can be viewed in a home streaming environment or through purchasing or anything else other than buying a standard definition DVD, which I think is an abomination. So I don't kind of want to do that. And our backup plan was to do True Lies. However, True Lies, it turns out, is also in the same situation.
Which is weird because I know I have watched True Lies many times on television.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that appears every now and then on like HBO or something. But yeah, it is currently unavailable on iTunes, Amazon, everything. I am just so confused. I don't understand it. Because it makes me so frustrated because I want to watch these things that theoretically I could enjoy with you, although, you know, you haven't seen it and you're probably going to poop all over it. But theoretically, we could enjoy watching these things, but they're not available to us. Apparently, James Cameron has been working on a 4K version of The Abyss for, like, for evs. He made some comment last year that he's looked at the 4K wet gate scan, and it looks great. And it's like, okay, well, that's nice. How long does it take you to scan a movie from film? The answer is a lot less time than a year.
He's very busy making techs for his various avatars.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing is, like, I don't really like Avatar, and I know that you don't really like Avatar, but that's really the most accessible other version of a James Cameron movie we could watch right now.
Unless we wanted to go all the way back and do Piranha 2.
Or Titanic.
Right, or Titanic. But, I mean, what is there to say about Titanic?
Far, wherever you are,
et cetera. That was a spectacular rendition of that song.
Yes, it was. I should get my Oscar now. Thank you, please. No. Yeah. I saw her do that in person in Vegas. She was on a platform that was elevated off the ground, and a water fountain thing went all around her.
Oh, right. They did the water cylinder. You told me about this.
Yeah, yeah. It was very fancy. So I don't really like Titanic.
You don't want to watch a, what is it, like 2.5 hour long movie to then argue about whether or not they could both fit on that door.
Also, I don't like mushy love crap. And that movie is just like 500,000,000% mushy love crap. And I can't get into it. So unless you want to hear me be a total sour and unpleasant person, through a discussion of a 2.5 hour movie about that, then I don't really think that's in the cards for us.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, my grandma was going to be on the Titanic.
That's fascinating.
She wasn't, though.
Oh. Well, I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
She didn't have to do any door calculus.
Right. I mean,
mm-hmm.
She died anyway. Like, not then.
Oh.
But, like, later.
People tend to die.
In the 80s.
I have some unfortunate news for you about your later life. But, no, the kind of threw a wrench in our James Cameron plans, because that's mainly what we wanted to do. Now, of course, there is still Avatar, and we may very well chop that into tiny little pieces, but we will weigh the decision carefully, because I started watching some of that this morning, and whoo boy, I have nothing but mean things to say about what I was looking at. So,
you know, coincidentally related, I was going through my Facebook app on my phone yesterday, which I do very rarely, and I was mass deleting posts because Facebook existed when I was in my early 20s, and it really shouldn't have, because good Lord. Anyway, apparently one of the posts that I wrote was about how spectacular the visual spectacle of Avatar was and how everyone needs to see that movie. I think I literally used the phrase, everyone needs to see this movie.
Yeah. You know, I feel like there are two kinds of people in the world. People...
Blue people and humans?
No, I was going to say, people who never liked Avatar, and people who liked Avatar but have changed their minds. And that is the entirety of the human race. And if you're somebody who insists, oh no, I actually like Avatar, you have not watched that recently, my friend. You should pull out your DVD or pop open your Netflixes or HBOs or what have you and check that thing out, because it is one very long video game cutscene that rehashes a lot of incredibly unoriginal ideas with even less original dialogue. If you thought the voiceover exposition in previous James Cameron movies was clunky, have I got some news for you. That first half hour of setup is nothing but listening to mumbly breathy voiceover, the James Cameron trademark, about all of the stupid things that you don't really need to know, but you kind of need to know, but you could get if through better storytelling, if somebody bothered.
Wasn't it kind of like proto Martian, where he's doing video diaries the whole time?
No,
I thought he was recording little video diaries to himself.
There's a voiceover thing that he's doing. Yeah,
I thought that was just like off camera video diary.
I don't think there was a video diary entry. He's just explaining how the world works and that Pandora is interesting and how his brother died.
Right.
And
then he's got the legs.
Flashbacks.
That don't work.
Yeah. And they, to say that they, to say that there was any subtlety about that. No, there was not.
Was there supposed to be subtlety in the, in the,
in the, in the Blue People Nature movie? No, I guess not. I did go to Pandora World at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Oh no, why would you do that?
Because the
you
hottest
reverence for the property that you decided you needed to go see the theme park based on it.
Well, I know I was there and they just recently opened it, and like apparently one of the hottest rides is this like one where you like soar on the back of whatever one of those thingies is.
Oh, you ride one of the dragon thingamabobs?
Yeah, yeah. But the wait for that was 3 hours. So we took a pass, and instead we did the other thing, because they had two rides.
Get a fast pass, and then be like, see you, poor people, and go right to the front.
They were out of fast passes.
They can run out of fast passes?
Yes. So we couldn't fast pass it, even though we were there, like, first thing in the morning. But we got to go on the one that turns out it's basically it's a small world, but like with complicated Pandora animatronic creatures and projection gags.
Mm.
And a gently moving stream.
What the? I don't remember the small world ride. I'm just thinking of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, it's the same kind of thing. You're just sitting in a boat.
Sitting in a boat. That's
you
cool.
Sit in a boat. Yeah.
I don't mind those rides.
You don't mind sitting in a boat?
I don't mind sitting in a boat. No, not at all.
Okay. I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you about boats.
I think the reason that I reacted so strongly to Avatar back then was just like a modern implementation of stereo 3D in the theater environment.
Well, see, here's another thing, another little wrinkle for you. Having worked on some stereo 3D projects for many hours, I was a little sour on the idea of going to go see that in a theater. And so...
You were working on stereo pre-Avatar?
Yes. Hard to believe, but it exists.
Yeah, I feel like Avatar was like one of the big first ones to bring it all back.
Well, it was the first major hit, that's for sure. But it was not the first... stereo 3D movie to come out.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, there were ones decades ago or whatever, but...
No, but I mean, in that specific time frame. And so, no, I was not interested in seeing it, and I didn't actually watch it until I saw it on home video. And something about the spectacle is lost in translation when you're watching it on home video. I will tell you that, because... there is nothing about that feels immersive. You feel very detached from what you're witnessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine there are a couple of like POV shots, if I recall, too. Those probably don't feel very grand.
No. And there are parts where the music's swelling, and you can tell this is supposed to be grand, and it ain't. It's kind of sad. Although I have not completed my rewatch. I only watched like the first 45 minutes of it or something, because there was some panic this morning when we couldn't watch True Lies and I couldn't reach you. So I just started watching it in preparation of maybe having to do that this evening. But then we decided, no, this is James Cameron's fault. We're not gonna try to cram in a 2-hour movie right now for this.
This is absolutely James Cameron's fault.
Yes.
2 hours, 42 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Avatar. My goodness.
It's okay, Dan. They're only making a whole bunch of them.
Right. But this, 2009, that was kind of in that same era where, like, a lot of, I don't want to call them blockbuster, but bigger movies were sort of just swelling to that 2-hour, 45 minute mark.
Yeah. No,
they kind of reined that back a little bit.
Yeah, the box office was turgid with 2-hour and 45 minute movies.
Now everything's 2 hours and, like, 13 minutes.
Yeah, I would really like it if we could get back to like the 90-minute movie.
No, that's people are going to feel like they're not getting their money's worth.
I don't care. I mean most of these people are watching it on the airplane seatbacks, so just come on, let's be real. Let's cut to the chase and give us our hour and 30-minute movies.
How long is Infinity War? 2 hours 29. So they're really pushing their luck there. I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers.
Yeah. Well, here's a spoiler. It's a long movie.
I mean, I feel like mm-hmm. I feel like I conditioned my bladder with David Fincher movies to where I can handle 2-hour 30-minute movies.
I will say that this is probably a faster pace than most David Fincher films.
Really? The movie with like 30 superheroes punching each other?
Yes. It's a slightly faster pace. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a bit of a disappointment for our themed month that we can't delve more deeply into that.
You know, they say never meet your heroes or build a podcast
around their movies.
Around your heroes. Is James Cameron one of our heroes?
No, he's not.
Remember when he just kind of like disappeared for like a couple decades when he was doing like submarine crap with the Titanic things?
Yeah, no, I don't. Okay, so just to be clear, it's not one of my favorite directors. I feel like he's a very influential director.
He's talented.
Yes. No, he's influential and he's talented. Although in his later years, after he went on his submarine sabbatical, he seems to have caught a case of the George Lucas's, because he's tinkering and toying and holding back old things and,
You think there was
Star
a pressure
Wars
leak
prequels.
And he got the bends when he was down there? Would the bends have affected his brain?
That's entirely possible. Tiny, tiny little nitrogen bubbles are...
He decompressed a little too quickly?
Causing Avatar. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, he's an influential movie maker and stuff. And he's
still making
things. People
listen to what he has to say about things.
Yeah. Only I am more skeptical of the things that he's recently saying because, of course, he's behind... he's one of the proponents of high frame rate. And stereo 3D, and no thank you to.
Oh, he likes the high frame rate stuff.
Yeah, him and PJ.
Has he done another 48 frame nonsense since his Hobbits?
I don't think he's done anything since the Hobbits.
Oh no, yeah. He did. Oh wait, never mind.
Yeah, no, he didn't do anything.
Well, I mean,
those three movies out of one tiny, tiny book have apparently taken their toll on him.
Does he have like anything in the queue? Maybe?
I don't think so.
Is he just burnt out? Is he too tired now?
Probably. I mean, he did do a lot of stuff. Someday we should do.
Oh no.
Someday we should do, The Lord of the Rings.
Can we not?
I forget. Did you watch all of them or did you bail?
I watched the first one and said, "What is this flaming garbage?" And then I turned it off.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So anyway,
apparently he's doing the sequel to The Adventures of Tintin, subtitled Prisoners of the Sun.
I don't want to watch it. And I know there are fans of the first Tintin movie that Spielberg did. But I also don't want to watch that one.
Never saw it.
No, I have no intention of it. And for anybody who's like, oh, no, it was kind of cute or whatever. No, like I visually, the nature of what I am looking at, I cannot deal with that. You cannot put that in front of me. It is not something I will process with any affection at all from a visual standpoint. I cannot look past it.
You don't like the style that it was created in?
No. And I'm not going to see BFG. I'm not going to see the what's the other one? I might see Ready Player One.
I thought you already saw that.
No, Seth did when he was on our Back to the Future one.
Well, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not that I'm against computer graphics by any stretch of the imagination, but
I think you're saying you hate CG.
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be the subtle subtext, but what I am against is perhaps the ill-suited use of it in certain places where it makes things bad, Like, did you ever see Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets?
What do you think?
Probably not. I saw that on an airplane. And it was one of those situations where I had no intention of seeing it, but then I saw it on somebody's airplane seat back and I was like, I just have to know what is going on. And so I fired that one up. And at the end of the day, I can't tell you what was going on because it was nonsense. But
maybe it was somebody else. You described it as a little bit Jupiter Ascending-ish.
Yeah, but worse, which is weird because I also don't like Jupiter Ascending very much. It's one of those things where it's just sort of an incoherent jumble of different ideas that are all sort of loosely strung together with... the idea of string, not even string, like it is so bad. And they spent so much money on it, and you can see the money they spent on the screen, but it still doesn't look, it's not appealing to look at, I would say. And they, you know, even went above and beyond what Avatar had done in 2009. So like just, you know, big alien people and stuff and things and CG environments and what have you. But
did they destroy New York?
No. Because there's no New York.
Any large cities getting destroyed? Because I hear that's kind of important to CG spectacle movies.
Maybe I can point you to the title of Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Do they blow up a thousand planets?
No. But that would have been more interesting, probably. But there is a city that is threatened, if that makes you feel any better.
Yes, that is very comforting to me, to know that a city is being threatened.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that Marvel movies have conditioned us to expect, is that a city or a planet will be threatened. Speaking of, when you do finally get around to Infinity War, I will be interested in hearing your thoughts on that, and I'm not going to give you my thoughts on it so as to not tamper with your expectations. But
I already heard the one line description from Merlin about why he wasn't super into it.
Yeah, that's fine. But make sure you watch Black Panther first. Because I believe I've told you this offline. It will aid in your enjoyment of seeing some people on the screen, because otherwise you will have no clue who they are when they show up.
Right. Yeah. And Black Panther is now available on iTunes for purchase. Can't rent it until next week. And I almost bought it because, like, you know, what's the cost of buying it versus a ticket or whatever?
Well, what is the cost of buying it right now?
It's like $20 or something. But, like, I don't think I would feel good about myself if every time I fired up my devices, I saw a Marvel movie in my thingy there.
Oh, would it make you feel bad?
It would make me feel a little bad. Yeah. Like I don't like, fine. I went along on this 10-year ride that they decided we needed to have, but I don't really want to encourage them to do it again. Aside from the fact that they're going to like make all of the money in the world.
Yes. They're going to make all the money in the world. Dan, they don't need your encouragement or approval.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I own any Marvel movies already. I don't think I do.
Really? None?
I don't know. Let me see. I'm looking at my TV.app, which is apparently going to be even more bloated very soon. I'm scrolling. The sound of scrolling, yeah.
Yeah, my least favorite U2 song album.
No, I don't. Don't see any Marvel-y movies in here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about subscriptions and TV? Oh, you know what else we could talk about? We could talk about MoviePass.
Oh.
I still haven't used mine. I feel so bad.
Well, you shouldn't, because you're probably one of the few things keeping them afloat.
Well, I was going to say it's going to be bankrupt by the time I get a chance to use it.
Yeah, you should probably get on that, Dan.
Yeah, I should just take like 2 weeks straight and then just put them way further into the red.
Yeah. So, last month, MoviePass CEO dude is doing all these interviews after his damage control from the previous month about how they're tracking customers. And he's like, no, wait, we're not doing that. And then they were like, oh, so yeah, we have all the money in the world and everybody's afraid of our innovation. And they were even on the cover of Variety. There's a giant MoviePass credit card, like, crushing a old-fashioned brick-and-mortar theater in half. That's on the cover of Variety. So that's adorable, because not even a month after that, they're in financial troubles, and the company that owns them, the data analytics company that owns them, has lost almost all of their stock value, and I think they're hovering around $0. They might be delisted. So that's hilarious. The CEO's plan, the MoviePass's CEO plan, was that the company's previous offering was too expensive, and so they would discount it heavily in order to grow the customer base. And then through the growth in the customer base, they would have a better bargaining position, and also a larger customer base to do things with. And those things were never entirely elaborated on. They wanted to help you make an evening out of things and how to promote blah, blah, blah. Well, like I said, not even a month later, they're in financial trouble. And apparently there was a quote from the CEO that, they're not going to run out of cash this month or in May or, I'm sorry, they're not going to run out of cash in May or June or July. And that was very specific, those 3 months. And I was just like, okay, so
it's probably as far as they can see.
Yeah. Well, it might be as far as they can think that they can stretch the cash.
Well, didn't they get in trouble at the end of last year? And then they just did another sort of like discount thing. And then that's how they got a whole bunch of new users and kind of like tied them over for another 6 months.
No, their last major cash investment was when this data analytics company bought them up, and did this thing. So that's why they're listed on NASDAQ at all, because they're owned by this other company, and their parent company is actually what's suffering on the stock market right now. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, hopefully I get to use it before my free 6 months or whatever runs out too, because I don't want to pay them.
Yeah, Dan.
Hmm?
Go use it.
Yeah, I've been busy.
I know, but I bet you there was a window you could have used it.
Maybe. I haven't seen a movie since last year.
Really? Oh, Dan.
I mean, I watch movies at home every week when we do this thing.
Right, obviously.
Obviously.
You haven't just been reading the Wikipedia summary this whole entire time.
No. That's just me in high school. I was going to get cliff notes for everything and write a paper based on that. I need to go see a movie or six.
That's fine. Hey, Dan, have you checked your email recently?
Like earlier today? Did you?
Just, I don't know. Maybe consider checking it at some point.
Did you send me something? What'd you do?
Nothing. I did nothing.
What did you do?
Nothing. Just check your email. Everything's fine.
All right, fine. Joseph sent you the following movie, Black Panther 2018.
Oh, how did that happen?
Thank you. I could just not redeem this.
Well, how does that help anyone?
I just noticed your comment. Now you own it forever. You did this because I put detention in your thing?
Yes. I mean, if you want to, you can do the same thing I did with detention, where you delist it from your iTunes purchases. But
oh, is that a thing you can do?
Yeah, remember I told you. I was so excited when I found that out, because I could get rid of detention. You can totally go ahead and delist.
I'm not going to delist it. I watched it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you're welcome.
It. Thank you for the movie.
Mm-hmm. And it's on Movies Anywhere, so I think it should pop up on your Fire TVs or what have yous.
It's good. I watched, what did I watch recently on my Apple TV? I watched something. Anyway, it kept freezing like every 30 minutes and like rebuffering. That's like, oh God, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I ran into a lovely thing where...
it was Terminator. For like, why am I struggling so hard to remember what I watched? Since I only watch things for this podcast. It was Terminator 2.
It was 2 weeks ago. Luck can happen between then and now. No, there was something I'd recently rented on there because it was just more convenient for purchasing, which is one of the obstacles to using Fire TV devices, because obviously no one has an Amazon phone or anything, so you have to go to the web browser, and then you have to purchase it in the web browser, and then it shows up in all your stuff. But it does that instantly when you do that. Whereas with iTunes, I can go ahead and search for the movie, see where it is, push the button to buy it or rent it, and then it just is supposed to materialize. And I think maybe this will be the time that happens. And then sometimes it just doesn't show up. And so the last time I rented something, it didn't show up for like 5 to 10 minutes on my Apple TV. And then it magically appeared. And then when I was playing it, it crashed, because video players in 2018 should totally be crashing, because video's hard, I guess.
Video's very, very complicated.
Yeah.
You got to compress and you got to decompress.
Yeah. But since it was a rental, I couldn't migrate it to any other service. And I was really teed off, because it also crashed again and when I started back up. I get so frustrated with them. And it seems rental is probably the most unstable form of watching anything on iTunes. I don't even understand why that might be, but I guess they have an entirely different system that's written just for rentals, where it's scotch tape and some twine and a small hamster is running in a wheel. And every now and then the hamster gets tired, and maybe some of the scotch tape breaks and they got to put more scotch tape on. That's my only analysis for the rental portion being so bad.
At least you get your hamster for 48 hours now, right?
Yes. 48 hour hamster.
I keep seeing more ads. Like I showed you that one for, get a free Apple TV 4K when you prepay for like 3 months of whatever DirecTV's over the top service is.
Oh, yeah. I have as their AT&T Choice whatever plan. I get the DirecTV access, DirecTV Now access, but only for HBO and like Audition, their special garbage channel.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so and for the Apple TV, you're supposed to be able to watch it through HBO Go, that app. That app is worse than the HBO Now app and different. I don't know why.
I have the HBO Go app.
Yeah, but the HBO Now app is better than the HBO Go app. I've used both. I vastly prefer the HBO Now app, even though that's nothing to write home about either. But the Go app works with AT&T's DirecTV Now stuff on iOS, but it doesn't work with it on tvOS. So you can't authenticate there. It says that it's not compatible with that device, which is charming. And so instead, you can use the DirecTV Now app, which every time you open it, it's like, here's the live conference music thing that's happening on Audition. Don't you want to watch that? And it's like, no. And then you fire up your on-demand and get to the HBO stuff and access that. And that's how I can watch my Westworlds and what have you on my TV. Otherwise, I got to AirPlay it, which is barbaric. But,
oh, that's not good.
Yeah, no, I'm so angry with them. But maybe that situation will be better in our bright, bold future of Apple doing Amazon channels. That would theoretically be better.
No, I don't think so. I recently watched something directly in the DirecTV app, whatever that, I think it's just called DirecTV app. And it was not a pleasant experience, and I would not like to do it again, but it technically worked. I think it actually didn't even crash either. But I don't know, maybe this is just an outside perspective, but it really seems like Apple is really, 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 really in trouble with a lot of this stuff. Like, not even just like, oh, they're not doing so good. Like, they're incredibly behind on a lot of things.
Well, I mean, you're also looking at it through the lens of the third generation Apple TV.
No, I just mean, like, I don't even have the inclination to give them a chance on a lot of things, even if I had newer technology. Like, stuff is just like, why would I bother trying that right now? Like, they don't have my consumer confidence.
Okay, calm down, Marco. So...
Customer sat.
Yes. I will agree that I lack confidence as well in some of these key areas because, like we have said, the systems that they have put out there have been unreliable, particularly when it comes to television stuff.
And then like, oh no, why isn't the HomePod selling very well? Siri is a disaster.
I think that's one of the more disconcerting things is that last year around this time, there was, well, the rumor for a Siri home, as it was sometimes called. Oh, good. I triggered my dumb phone. So anyway,
I don't have to worry because when I do my Hey Dingus on my phone, half the time it doesn't even do anything.
Yeah, well, that's the charm of it is that Phil Schiller can apparently stand in front of an entire audience and say it and it doesn't work. And then you get it in your home environment and all kinds of things trigger it. This whole thing last year where there was the Siri Home thing and it was building up to this, and skeptically everybody was like, well, Siri sucks, so they have to be announcing some major revamp of Siri in order to be rolling out anything that would be reliant on it. And then they didn't do that, and they showed us, because they released, well, they didn't even release, they demoed something that maybe could someday use Siri to play Apple Music stuff in a living room, and might one day get stereo pairing with AirPlay 2, a technology which has not shipped, which was announced almost a year ago. So that was cute.
It just adds to my feeling of dread for the company. Like I'm sure they're doing a lot of things, and I'm sure most of that has to do with phones or whatever. But like, are they really just like leaving these things to languish because they are so far behind and they're just getting further behind every day? Like, this, it's not a thing where they could just like buy something and then they're done. Like, they're not gonna be able to buy the Amazon assistant outright and be like, this is ours now.
No, that would never happen. But what the situation that they found themselves in is they did not take proper stock of where Siri was. And I question how much the executives use it or what testing they do to see what the user satisfaction is, because I have not spoken with anyone who feels like it's satisfactory, and most people who think that it's not so bad don't use it because they don't rely on it for anything, which is not comforting, nor a rebuttal of the complaints that it's not very good at anything.
How often do you try? I know you use it in your car when you're selling stuff. But
that's my
most
common use case because I have no other alternative in the car.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it is quite bad because I have to rely on it for text transcriptions. And so just this evening, I said, yes, I'm driving home right now to Jason just to let him know where I was driving, because he was texting me back from his evening where he's doing stuff. And it transcribed that as yet. And that's not what I said. And there was no easy way for me to change that. You can say no, and then you can redictate the entire message again, and wait for it to patiently do that, because it has to contact a server and do all the stuff with server contact. And when I'm in the Sepulveda Pass, I don't want to do that because it might time out because the cell phone reception is not great there. So I just let yet go through. And that's just makes me sad. And they get into even worse stuff when it comes to directions and driving, where you can say proper nouns for certain things, but it'll transcribe them as English words, which is not good because that's not a destination that you're going to want to go to, because it'll be like in Kansas or something. Meanwhile, if you just go to type it out or something on your phone in like a minute, then you are all set, and you don't have to deal with something where it can literally never get it right from what you're saying. No matter how much you articulate it, it will try to turn into an English language word.
Yeah. I tried to ask mine when our local Chinese restaurant closed, and the name is spelled like the word chaos, but is pronounced chows, and you'll never guess what I had to say to get Siri to know what the hell I was talking about. Because
when
I asked,
chaos close?
Yeah, when does Mr. Chaos close? Because if I said, when does Mr. Chow's close, it gave me Mr. Chow's in Los Angeles. I'm like, really? You think that's really where I want to go right now, Siri?
No. Yeah, there is there is the Amazon Echo, of course, can do that. And it is so much better at that kind of stuff. Although I don't really use the hours, the business hours thing as much. Mm. One other annoying thing is that if you look at something on the maps with Apple Maps or something like that, it'll show you the business hours. But if you're in the car and you say you want directions to something, it won't show you the business hours or tell you what the business hours are. So if you're going to something that's going to be closed, there is no heads up. Whereas
I feel like open now should be like the default filter turned on for almost everything.
Yeah, except it isn't. That's mostly frustrating with Yelp. Because Yelp will be like, here's a business that doesn't deliver and is closed. Don't you want to go there? Add. No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, no, I wanted to give you my primary Siri use case and see if you thought it was a reasonable failure or not. Because, yeah, people will be like, oh, complications, CarPlay, he's in the Sepulveda Pass, and whatever. But no, it's pretty cut and dry, terrible. So usually, before I take a shower, I'm listening to a podcast holding my phone in my hand. And then I will plug my phone in on the counter next to the shower. And then when I get out, I will yell, hey, thingamabob, play. And what do you expect it to do? You expect it to resume the thing that it was previously playing. About 50, 60% of the time, it does absolutely nothing. About half of that remaining time where it does something, it will pick up where it left off. The other half of the time, it'll say, okay, here's a radio station I've made for you that you've never listened to before, and start playing. And it's like, what the hell? How is that an expected scenario? Like, what are you doing? Like, I get that, like, apps time out in the background or something, and maybe my podcast app is no longer on your mind because you ran out of RAM or something, but, like, of all of the things to do, you're going to make me a radio station? Like, I have Apple Music. I listen to, like, two playlists exclusively. Play one of those. Like, be smart about this. But no, I mostly get nothing. Most of the time I either get nothing, or I get, you know, a radio station, and then a small percentage of the time I get the thing that I actually wanted. And the worst part is most of the time I get the thing that I wanted, the volume is too quiet and I can't even hear it, so it's just like, all right, stop, rewind.
Yeah, no, see, what happens with me frequently with audio playback is I'll be listening to something in Overcast, let's say, and then I get into my car and I plug it in and it's supposed to resume playback, and when it works, it is fantastic, because that is exactly what I wanted it to do and what the expected behavior is. However, if I had Overcast open and then I went and I did a bunch of other stuff before I got in my car and I turned it on, then Overcast gets bumped out of RAM or whatever, and it's no longer, the OS no longer has the ability to resume playback. And so what happens when you plug it in is it's like, I will play the last song you played in Apple Music at the beginning of that song. Not where you last were in that song, but at the beginning of that song.
And I get that too. I got a stupid Bluetooth dingus, and about half the time I get just like the last song, and then sometimes it actually does resume the podcast.
Yeah, and it really is frustrating. And that also happens with the Beats X headphones that I have. If I push the play button on it, sometimes nothing will happen, and it'll be like, oh, maybe it didn't get that I hit play, and then I don't realize that, no, that means it couldn't resume, and then when I push it again, it just goes to the music.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, sometimes the app is there's no audio app in RAM, and hitting play then wakes the app up, and you have to hit play again to actually hear audio. Like, you would think that that's a problem they would be able to sort out. Also, half the time I'm listening to something on my lock screen, the little time scrubber, it doesn't update until you hit pause. Like, that is, how is that still broken? Like,
I don't get that occurring very often for me.
All the time. Yeah. Music, podcasts, all of it. And it was, God, like, these are simple things. Like, you know, write a file to disk that says what I was last listening to and where it was. Like, that should take up, like, 3 bits.
Yeah. Also, literally. Like, particularly when it comes to third-party audio, I feel like it really should not ever be this complicated to resume what I was last listening to, because
they built this whole app ecosystem, and then they're just like, oh, we didn't make that app. Throw our hands up in the air. Like, I don't know what to tell you. We don't know what's coming out of there.
Yeah, and I don't, and this is also frustrating in the car, because if I want to, like, pick a different podcast or something, because there is no Siri support for any media playback that is not Apple Music or some limited playback options for your personal music library.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can you even invoke a third party podcast app with the Siri there?
I can tell it to open Overcast, but what that results in is the app opening and displaying on the screen.
That's great. That's exactly what you wanted.
Yes, because now I get to look at a list of all of my podcasts and all of the shows, all the episodes or all of the podcasts in a tabbed view. And then you can scroll down to the one that you want to listen to. And anything you've already listened to isn't grayed out in that interface. It is the same weighting and brightness as the text for something that hasn't been listened to yet. And there's just zero indication of where you could pick up where you left off. And there is no play button to resume the last thing you were listening to inside of the app, as there is inside of the Overcast app, where there's that bar at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of dangerous to do if you're driving. So I try not to mess too much with what I'm listening to. I try to like start up something before my drive that I know will last the duration of my drive, so I don't have to fiddle with anything. Because that's a little hazardous. And Amazon has a Music Unlimited app, which I use because I pay them money for that service. And while I enjoy the experience of being able to ask in the air for playback of a song to occur, and it happens in my house or at Jason's, it does not happen in my car because I get to scroll through a list of recent playbacks and all kinds of other stuff, because there is no way to control that music library with voice, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, and I even tried to hack around this with workflow. Like, I've got a couple of buttons in my little whatever you call that stupid dock thing where you put widgets, Today View thing. Is it still called the Today View?
Oh, God only knows.
I don't know. I got a couple of buttons that say like shuffle this playlist that you always listen to, or shuffle that playlist you always listen to, and now workflow works maybe 5% of the time. Most of the time it crashes and says, like, sorry, we can't display this.
No, I more often than not, I'm accidentally invoking workflow, and then I have to wait for it to redirect to the app and then wait for it to load the workflow. Any attempt to intercede in that time frame will yield poor results in terms of what will wind up happening.
Are you doing it from the Today View or from the
No, yeah. I have my little like bookmarklet thing on my home screen.
You have a home screen thing? Yeah.
Yeah. So I accidentally hit the one for like Super Favor or for the defocused bootleg post notification. And it's like, here, I'm gonna load this thing and load this thing, and it's like a 10-second process, and it's like, that's not what I meant to do. And I can't get out of this.
The music
if you try to close it, it just takes you back when the redirect finishes launching.
Oh yeah, the callback
redirects are so good.
Yeah. See, but for like the music ones, it's just the little progress bar goes across and then it turns into a little check mark. Like, it doesn't actually go into the app or whatever. And you know, a lot of times the bar will just get stuck or nothing will happen and you'll get no feedback. And it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be able to do this unconsciously. Like, if I had to do this at a stoplight, I should be able to swipe over and hit the button. And sometimes I'm like, is it not working because I haven't unlocked? So then I'll like look at it and it'll unlock real fast. Then I'll hit the button again and it still fails. And then you hit it like two more times and then the whole widget just goes like, sorry, I can't load data. It's like, what the? Doesn't Apple even own them now? Like, what is even happening here?
Well, what's happening is their resources are focused elsewhere. And that workflow is not a priority.
Seems like not much is a priority to them aside from, I don't know, making red iPhone 8s or something. That's like the newest thing that they've done.
Well, those look nice, but I really wish they would launch the product reds at the same time as they launch the other ones.
Like, so you don't get angry when they come out because you would have bought one in the first place?
Well, angry is the wrong word, but just, you know, it'd be nice to have for everyone to basically have some options. They have other color combinations anyways, so I don't understand
the delay.
If they
did it consistently like 6 months after a phone came out, that would be one thing you could plan for, but you never really know if or when they're going to do it.
Right, and also for anyone who's interested in having a new product on a timely basis, why would you wait 6 months? I understand why they do it to juice sales, because there are people who will get it just for the color in that time period, people who already own that model. not me. I'm not a, you know, a prince, or I haven't inherited anything. So I don't have the...
You're not a fancy prince?
No, I'm not a fancy prince. I just don't do that kind of stuff. But I think mainly it's just kind of depressing to think about it. You look at other initiatives and stuff that are going on, it's like, so what is happening? What's the haps? What are we doing here?
I still like my 10 and my AirPods, and I really like my iMac. But other than that,
I still have my old as dirt, MacBook Pro, 15-inch MacBook Pro, which I've had since, hold on, I'll tell you, late 2011, 2.2 gigahertz Intel Core i7, 8 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM, Intel HD Graphics 3512 megabytes.
Ooh, wow, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Super nice. Yeah, so anyway, blah.
I use my MacBook Pro now because I've still got all my hot folder set up for rendering stuff with compressor, and since I got the Dropbox, I throw my ProRes into a Dropbox folder on my iMac, and then the laptop turns its fans on real loud and sends me back an H.264 in my Dropbox.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a great use of a 5-year-old $3,500 laptop.
This was not that much when I got it, because this was pre-Retina. So this is when the MacBooks cost less. They were a reasonable price. So I think this one was like $1,600.
Oof.
Which is not even a price point you can hit with the 15-inch model anywhere close. So that's a little disappointing.
I should clarify. It was $3,300. It wasn't $3,500, but...
Yeah. Close enough. Just rounding up.
A lot of money.
Yeah, I've been interested to see if they will refresh the poor choices that they have made in design for the MacBook line.
You know, for a long time I was an advocate of get yourself a real fast, good laptop and hook it up to a big screen and you can do all kinds of cool stuff. And now you can't take my iMac away. Like, don't even try.
No,
it works real good, except in the instances where you don't crop your glows and run out of RAM and nuke. But that's more user error than anything else.
Yeah, well, I have looked at the iMac many times in the past, but it is not suitable for my lifestyle of traveling between two different apartments and editing podcasts.
No, if you need to edit a podcast on your laptop, that makes sense or whatever. Yeah. But like, if you need to do stuff and you want to continue to try and do it on a Mac like me, get use an iMac. I'd be curious to see how these iMac Pros are handling stuff, because I very, very rarely even come close to stressing this thing.
I mean, I don't doubt it. I've heard lots of very nice things about it. Like I said, not suitable for me. And I just want them really to update the thing that is suitable for me, because that would make me happy. And I don't like what they currently offer in that category.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
The Touch Bar can rot in hell. Sorry.
I don't know anybody who has a Touch Bar.
Jason does. He has the when his laptop was slightly older than mine, and it was the 13-inch, and his was dying, and he didn't want to upgrade the hard drive or anything, and he was like, oh, it's so slow and blah 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 blah. So he wanted to go out and buy a new one, but he was between the MacBook Air, the 13-inch without Touch Bar, and the 13-inch with Touch Bar. And I was like, you don't need the one with the Touch Bar, because of course not. And you can just use the other 13-inch one, because it'll be the most similar to the model that you currently have. And I was like, you shouldn't get the Air, because it hasn't been substantially upgraded. This is even before they did the speed bump that they did. Cause it was the right after the 2015, or what was it? 2016 came out. So he's like, yeah, no, I'm going to totally just buy this one, because what if they do some cool stuff with the Touch Bar in the future and then I don't have it? And I was like, and then he's like, I saw a thing online about how Office is going to use it. And I was like, and so anyway,
Office is going to put their 30 tabs with 80 buttons.
Yeah, the ribbon.
That's right. It's called the ribbon, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so he talked himself into buying that one. And so he has that and he likes it enough, but there was a situation where one of the P keys, wasn't working. So he was tapping on it and wasn't doing nothing.
It's the one with the thin keyboard that doesn't work right.
Yeah. But then it just started working again. And now it's out of warranty. So if it ever...
You got to hold it at like a 60-degree angle and you got to get that spray air.
Mm-hmm. But
I got my Magic Keyboard too here that came with my iMac. And it's pretty nice. I've been using it more and more because it's so easy to pick up and move out of the way and set down on top of my Wacom tablet and stuff. And save me a little bit of RSI from my torture keyboard.
Mm. I have, as we've discussed in the past, a clicky
keyboard. Oh, yeah, you get your orange guy. Have you talked about your orange guy on any podcast?
I haven't talked about my orange guy on any podcast.
Oh. So
I was feeling a pang of nostalgia for earlier bygone days of Apple. And I happened to notice that online there was someone who was purporting to sell a new condition, never been used iMac tangerine keyboard. This is, of course, back when they had the colors of the machine that also were reflected in the colors of the keyboard. And I was like, I will get me one of them. And I did. And so I ordered that. It arrived. And I typed on it once. And I realized that it's prettier than it is good at typing. And so I just kind of have it now.
You're not using it?
No, because I like my dumb clicky keyboard better.
Which dumb clicky keyboard?
The what is it? The Cooler Master CM Storm blah blah blah.
Is that one of the Snell recommendations?
No. This was just one that I found on Amazon. But it's the Cherry MX Brown. Key switches.
Oh, it's the quieter version, mm-hmm. but the same key feel as like a DOS.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never typed on a DOS, but it's pretty quiet. But it does still have the tactile feeling of typing. While I find when I was typing on the iMac one, it was kind of like moosh, even mushier.
They're very mushy.
Yeah, even mushier than the keyboard on my MacBook Pro 2011.
Hmm.
Yeah, but you like your one that sounds like you're punching tin cans.
Yeah, I got me some what do you call it, buckling springs or whatever.
Yeah,
my Unicomp, which is it's a little bit of nostalgia because it's a modification, it's a rebuild, it's a smaller version of the keyboard that we all used in the early 90s attached to our garbage 486 IBM PCs.
Well, I didn't do that. Another thing I was looking at on eBay but did not buy was I was looking for the not the Apple Extended 2 keyboard, but the there was called the Apple Keyboard 2.
It's the one that doesn't have a number pad?
No, it does have a number pad. It doesn't have a function row. It is a compact keyboard they mainly sold with their LC computers in the early 90s. And that one... I have not been able to successfully find it. And also you get the added wrinkle of it being ADB and needing to buy a converter.
Stupid adapters.
Yeah. Well, the adapters, the old Griffin ADB to USB adapters are $100 on eBay because
they
stopped making them. So you can totally do that. But then there are third party people who are building their own that they sell for like $30. 30 to 40 bucks, and they have all kinds of stuff, but they're like literally hand making these, where you can buy it from some guy who's going to solder it together, and like one guy even you can pay a little extra and you can get an acrylic case for the board that he will sell you. Like he will just literally sell you a board unless you actually add a case to it, and it is just two pieces of acrylic with like posts that hold it together.
It seems like it definitely won't short out your computer and your keyboard.
Yeah, I thought it would be a fire hazard, so I did not pursue that. But yeah, there is some, you know, pangs of nostalgia, as I said, for the bygone era of that. But I really do prefer typing on the CM Storm, whatever, blah, blah, blah thing.
Mm.
I just, there are a couple minor things. I bought the 87 key arrangement. I want to say 87. It's either 87 or 88. The 10 keyless, they call it, where it doesn't have the number pad, but it has the arrow, full-size arrow keys and stuff in function row. Because I was like, you know, I really don't need a number pad at home because I'm not using Nuke or Maya or anything, or doing taxes. So I was like, I'm fine without that, I suppose. And it would give me some more room on the little keyboard tray for the mouse. And, the only problem is nobody makes, a wrist rest for that size, like a one of those little gel things. Cause I like those.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But I like the gel ones with the cloth on top, not the gel ones that are just the plastic, because that just, your hands get so clammy, because it doesn't breathe.
Oh, yeah, you know, you got to get the one with that sort of, like, black, slick cloth material on there that turns not black very quickly.
Yeah, the one that's, like, spandex.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so nobody makes one that fits that size, and so you have to get the one for the larger keyboard that just looks absurd.
Cut it. Would it seep everywhere?
Yeah, I would assume so. There are people who sell foam versions that fit that size, but I never like the foam ones. They don't do anything for me.
No, just cut it and cauterize it real fast. Use a lightsaber.
Yeah, well, use my spare lightsaber that I keep around here.
Yeah, get yourself a tangerine lightsaber.
Get yourself a tangerine lightsaber who can do both.
Keyboards.
Well, you know what? Maybe people are bored of this conversation.
You're talking about me or you're talking about people listening to this?
I'm talking about people listening to this. We should probably give them a break.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, everyone. Until next time, when maybe we'll talk about something.
Maybe if James Cameron lets us watch a movie.
Yeah, James.
Jeez.
Jeez, Jimmy.
Get off your giant peach and give us a movie.